Track 2. Behind the scenes with Mortimer and Whitehouse. John Bailey, fishing advisor on the hit BBC Two show Gone Fishing, shares some tales from the riverbank with Bob, Paul and Ted the dog.
I think it's fair to say that nobody involved with it thought it would be anything more than just six quick programmes that a few people would watch, says John Bailey. I've been involved with Gone Fishing since it was first mooted 10 years ago, and I think everybody's amazed that it's become BBC Two's most watched programme. And, though I hate the phrase, Paul and Bob are on their way to becoming national treasures. The premise couldn't be more simple. Comedians Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse hang out on a riverbank, landing the occasional catch. But combine fishing with an authentic, decades-long friendship, silliness, beautiful scenery, heartfelt conversation, and Ted the dog, and you've got something special. Sometimes you'll see Bob and his face just explodes into massive beams of excitement and joy, and that is absolutely genuine. He just feels such a thrill at catching a fish, it's sometimes almost tear-inducing, says John, who, as the programme's fishing consultant, plans and organises the locations they visit and is in charge of all the fishing tech. Apart from 2 years spent living in a bothy in Scotland, John lived in Norfolk between leaving university and relocating to the Welsh borders in 2020. For many years, he was the angling correspondent of the Eastern Daily Press, and he's brought Bob and Paul to the county for several episodes, including the very first, where they fished for tench. "We were originally from Greater Manchester, and my parents bought a house in Blakeney," he says. "As an angler, I was brought up fishing in the northwest, where the canals were just so depressing, and anything bigger than 4 inches was a monster. Coming down to fish the Norfolk rivers, and particularly in those days the Norfolk estate lakes up in the north of the county, places like Blickling, Felbrigg, Gunton, Bayfield, it was an absolute paradise to me. I look back to the most idyllic, special, magical childhood. I'll forever be grateful for my parents moving down to Norfolk and leaving the dark satanic mills." Both of John's parents got ill shortly after he left university, and he returned to Norfolk to be with them. He did a postgraduate teaching course at the UEA and got a job at the Norwich School teaching history and classics while spending lots of time fishing in the holidays. "It was in that period, when I was in my 20s, that I met the infamous and legendary John Wilson, with whom I fished for 7 or 8 years intensively," says John. And to be fair to John, even though he wasn't the easiest man to get along with, he laughs, "he really changed me from being a lad who was crazy about fishing to somebody who eventually would make fishing his career." John loved his time teaching, so it was a wrench to leave after 10 years to become a full-time writer. "I'd always loved writing. As a kid, I actually enjoyed writing essays. What a swat. I wrote very adjective-ridden articles for the Eastern Daily Press while I was still at university. My first book, called Invisible Waters, was published in 1984, and in 1989 it got to the stage that I was earning as much from writing as I was from teaching. The same year, I was also offered the chance to make a fishing film in the Himalayas for ITV called Casting for Gold. And that had to be filmed during September and October, so it was that which gave me the push to leave teaching." John has had around 50 books published, including How We Fish, which was co-written with Paul. Alongside his writing, he's also become a fishing guide, taking groups to countries including India, Mongolia, and Greenland. Very well known in the angling world, John was a perfect fit when, back in 2015, a new TV series about fishing, starring two comedians, was looking for an advisor. "There are divisions in fishing. We have match anglers, pleasure anglers, carp anglers, predator anglers, trout anglers, salmon anglers, lure anglers, sea anglers, shore anglers, boat anglers, and they pull against each other. rather than for each other, says John. So I think when Paul was looking for somebody to mastermind locations for Gone Fishing and how the episodes would unravel piscatorially, I think he wanted somebody who knew as much about salmon as he did tench and as much about carp as he did sea bass. After a few episodes, viewers were hooked, pardon the pun, and John thinks there are a few reasons for this, not least the fact that it feels so authentic. Anything that we catch is celebrated, and I think the fact that we don't catch anything in quite a few episodes is very popular, because that's how fishing should be, says John. There should be jeopardy in it, and sometimes we really, really feel that jeopardy. It's one thing taking somebody fishing on a guided day. It's another taking Paul and Bob to the River Tyne with a crew of 16 or 17 people and not catching anything. I'm not going to be critical of Bob, but Bob isn't the best fisherman that's ever cast a line. I've seen Bob make one or two mistakes that have had me almost banging my head against a tree in exasperation. There's a lot that can go wrong in any episode, and frequently it does. But what I love about Bob is his absolute, genuine, passionate, wondrous, childlike excitement when he catches a fish. It's not like I'm busily catching fish in the background and passing them on to Paul and Bob. It's filmed as it happens, and I think that sense of honesty probably comes across. What also comes across is the depth of the friendship between Paul and Bob, and the fact that among the giddiness, there are hugely poignant moments as they open up and discuss life's big issues, including aging, illness, and grief. Paul and Bob were friends. They both had heart issues. They were both looking for something where they could relax and recuperate, rebuild their friendship, and do something that was going to be meaningful to them. And I think two old friends going fishing together is incredibly natural, says John. A great thing about fishing, as opposed to football, my other passion, is that it does lend itself to getting to know people. Life slows down, you've got the time, you've got somehow the atmosphere to talk seriously about things that you wouldn't have in the normal pell-mell haste of life. I think that men are more reticent about talking about the big issues of life, but they are now being encouraged to reveal their inner selves a little bit more. Bob and Paul do lark about, and Bob does fall over a lot, and there are some very rude words that have to be edited out, but I think that quite a lot of the conversations actually do strike a more profound chord. Over the course of 7 series, John has enjoyed showing Bob and Paul places that are special to him, especially the ones in Norfolk. Locations they have visited include the River Wensum, the Broads, and Blakeney. I think I've filmed with them 55 episodes, and probably 35 to 40 of those episodes have been to places that I've fished in the past and loved, says John. There's a great satisfaction and a great joy in showing people you're really fond of a really great place to go and fish. And I think that's amplified by the fact that it's going to be watched by several million people. You are revealing your favourite places on the planet, which is a privilege and something I take very seriously. The love I feel for Norfolk is incredibly deep, and when I take them to places like Bintry Mill on the Wensum, which is my idea of paradise, or when I take them to somewhere like Bayfield Lake near Holt, where some of the happiest days of my life have been spent, and they love it, well, I just think that's marvellous. And John says the show has done a lot to improve fishing's image. I think that Gone Fishing has made the sport a lot more acceptable, and I think the way that we treat fish is immaculate, he says. Paul himself is completely neurotic about getting a fish back unharmed as quickly as possible, to the extent that sometimes we can hardly get him to hold a fish for the camera. Bob's catchphrase, "and away," has caught on massively. Wherever I go fishing these days, people catch a fish and put it back and everybody goes, "and away." Also, I think for the first time, a lot of people who don't fish can see why their family members do fish and actually enjoy it. I think people are appreciative of the scenery. I think they're appreciative of the pace of it. And I think people begin to realise that fishing really, truly, absolutely is good for your mental health. I think it does calm you down. I also think, sadly, as a nation, we've lost so much attachment to the countryside. I think we don't understand the countryside like we did when I was a lad up in North Norfolk. And I think that we've lost that bond with it. And I think Paul and Bob have, in some ways, brought the nation back to the countryside and revealed a lot of the delight of it that has been forgotten. And in doing that, it shines a spotlight on why the health of our rivers is so important. I think it's fair to say that Paul and I would like there to be a lot more about that in the programme, but, of course, it's light entertainment, and Paul is only allowed to say bits here and there. But whenever possible, he does get the message across. And we're both trustees of a charity called Fish in Need, which is set up to give money to schemes that are helping fish that need help. For example, the Crucian carp, which used to be very commonplace in Norfolk and has nearly died out. We give grants to a Norfolk farmer's son called Carl Sayer, who's reintroducing Crucian carp to Norfolk. So there are more serious environmental overtones to what the programme has kick-started. Of course, it's not just Bob and Paul who have won viewers' hearts. Scene-stealing Ted the dog, who belongs to series executive producer Lisa Clark and is always in search of his missing briefcase, has become a celebrity in its own right. Would John say that fame has gone to Ted's head? I've always wanted to get a book in the Sunday Times bestsellers list. I've been number 11 once, and I've been number 12 or 13 a few times. And so when Ted's autobiography was in the Sunday Times bestsellers list for about 14 weeks, you can imagine how I felt to be beaten to the list by a dog, laughs John. He certainly sounds like a one-off. As fans of the show would expect, the way to Ted's heart is pocket meat. I've known thousands of dogs, but I've never known any remotely like Ted, says John. He shows no signs of affection to anybody in particular. He will allow his ears to be tickled, providing there's a serious treat for him in the end. He's almost like a Norfolk character, one of those rum old boys, who is almost unapproachable, but deep down has got a heart of gold. Gone Fishing, Series 1 to 7, is available on BBC iPlayer. Series 6 is currently being repeated on BBC Two at 8 p.m. on Tuesdays. A new series, which sees Bob and Paul visit places with a special meaning to them, is expected later this year.